Sound check. He. All right, let's go.
And the beat keeps running, running, and running, running, and running, and running, and running, and running, running. No contact, no disrespect. You break the rules, we break your neck.
Let's get it started in high. Let's get it started in here. Ooh, woo-hoo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode of the Breaking the Plane podcast. I am your host, Joe Scher, alongside my co-host, Burge, our king, our true prince, our true knight in shining armor, third chair, Hogan, and then our maestro on the ones and twos, Kojak. I'm going to start with Burge. How are you doing tonight, brother?
I was doing better until I heard you just try to rap. Like, what? I never want to hear that again, man. Never do.
We're not allowed to be both talented in here. Whatever,
bro. No, man. All seriousness, I'm doing good. Excited to get back into this, go through a little bit of some countdowns with you guys, and yeah, just keep going with it. How you doing today, buddy?
Yeah. I'm doing pretty good, man. We got some.
You are doing good.
I'm doing fucking great, dude. I'm off the tequila right now. This is about to get. You remember the fucking part? I think I've talked about this before. Part in SpongeBob, where they fucking derail that train with all the monkeys. Dee, dee, hoo, ha, ha, bing, bang, wada, wada, bing, bang. That is where this podcast is going. Off the rails. Anyway, Hogan, tell me, how you doing tonight, brother?
Oh, I'm so good. You sing to your heart's content. Don't listen to Burge.
This is why I pole wash you off the top. Off the top. I know it's hard. I know it's worth it.
It's okay. It's all good. No, I'm doing good. For those of you who follow along on my Discord adventures and whatnot, I was talking about how I got the new Sum 41 CD, their last album that just came out.
Sum 41 released an album in 2024?
Oh my God, you're so young. Stop talking. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. But I actually just got concert tickets to their farewell tour for the end of April. So a little non-football stuff there, but I'm pumped. I'm freaking pumped. But my real question is, how is Kojak doing?
What's going on? Oh my God. Doing great. Like, how's everyone else doing?
Looks like you got a different house there and then the background behind you there.
Dude, it looks like you're at like in a... Oh, where'd he go? All right, lean back in. It looks like you're at an award show and like, you know how like they have like the fucking, the, like the background and you take pictures in front of, dude?
The advertisement.
Kojak's
what I was going for.
Kojak,
I love it.
At the podcast award, dude, accepting an award.
It's better than Eric Clapton, 40 feet behind me. Pause. Continue.
Eric Clapton, that's my cousin, bro. Cause, all right. So I want to jump into something real quick here. We love bets. We love gambling on this podcast, and we have another proposition. I'm not challenging Aaron Rodgers this time. I'm challenging you. You, the people out there. Okay. This podcast is slated to be the first audio-visual rendition of Breaking the Plane. Breaking the Plane. Where the hell did Plane get? Breaking the Plane. But it will be the first audio is, yeah, I'm off tequila, that's why. But this will be the first audio and visual rendition of the podcast. We're gonna release this episode 25, the silver anniversary of BTP. We're going to release it on YouTube. And I have a proposition for you fucks out there. You sick fucks that love to see me in agony. The same people that were rooting for Aaron Rodgers' Achilles to heal. I have another one for you. So, if this podcast video gets 100 views in the first month, you have 30 days from when it's released to get 100 views. If you get 100 views in the first month, I will go live on the BTP Twitter and I will shave my fucking head. I will shave my head. And then if it gets even more wild, I'll shave my ass, dude. I'll shave
my ass. Oh my God. All right.
I'll have Kayla out there with the fucking hedge trimmers shaving my ass. No, I'm just kidding. But if we get 100 views in the first month, we're going to go, we're going to shave my head. We're going to have Kayla do it on live. So that'll be fun. Promote the fuck out of YouTube. That's our only way to quit our fucking day jobs. I know that I'm going to do it regardless, but no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, we're check us out on YouTube, Breaking the Plane. Burge, I know you're the sentimental type. So tell me what you think of the first 25 episodes of BTP.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm surprised we made it this far. I'm not gonna lie. I did not know when we first started this sucker that we were gonna be continuing doing this, especially as regularly as we are during the off season. I think it's fantastic. I look forward to every Tuesday, but I just wanted to shout you guys all out. You know, Hogan, I'll get to you in a minute, but Joe and Kojak, because we've been doing this from the beginning. Like, it's been a great experience. I'm so pumped that this worked out. Again, we've been through the whole story of how it came together, and I'm excited to do 25, 75, 100,000 more of these suckers with you guys. Hogan, again, fantastic addition to the pod. One of my oldest friends. I'm pumped that you're doing this with us. You've been a great ad, fit right in with us. So, yeah, shout out to all you guys. And, again, congrats on making it 25, and sky's the limit. So I just want to get that out there.
Fuck yeah, dude. Dude, this shit's so fun, dude. I don't give a fuck how many people download and listen, dude. You eight people out there. I fucking love you guys. I fucking love every single one of you. It's not hard because it's not that much love to go around. But anyway. But yeah, no, straight up, dude. Glad that you popped up on my feed via Chris Davis. Shout out Davis. You're the man, bro.
Absolutely.
Kojak, we've been talking about doing something like this for a while. So I'm glad that the first thing, it was funny because I started messaging with Burge. The first thing I did was text Kojak. Be like, hey, dude, I have it in on a podcast. I really want you to come on with me. And it was fucking immediate. And Ko and I have been talking about this for a while. So I'm glad we jumped on and did it. Appreciate all you guys. And Hogan, you're like, remember like Nate Evaldi pitched like 14 innings in like a fucking World Series game? Yeah. Like, he didn't start and he didn't close, but like he came in and just like did nasty. Like, and he just wasn't there from the rip. So that's like what I equate to Hogan. You're a great glue guy. You're a great yin to me and Bears' yang on the pod, which I like. But I know, Ko, you've been here from the beginning. Do you have anything you want to say?
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been a learning experience. Joe, I didn't know you were that extensive in your football talk, so that's been fun to listen.
Well, we just talk basketball, dude. You know what I mean?
No, I know. Yeah. So I like it. It's fun. I learn a lot with the back end. And I mean, if I learn this much 25 episodes in, we'll see what happens 25 episodes from now. So
dude's going to be levitating his computer with his mind. He's
really shout out to Kojak for all that great work that you've been doing behind the scenes. You've been been incredible.
Brothers.
The editing from the first couple the episodes to like the last couple, like you've done some bleed ins from like music, like our banter to music recently into like the, like it's, I don't know, it's improving. We sound like we know what we're doing, at least on the editing side. So maybe we'll just have to improve the takes a little bit. But Hogan, yeah, bro, I want to give you the floor. I thank you for coming on. You were a great guest and you've been an unbelievable addition. So I'm happy to keep going forward with you, bud.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, I just wanted to ask, was there even a podcast before I showed up or
no? Not basically, no.
No, you guys were phenomenal. Not that anybody listened to. No. You guys were phenomenal before I came on. It was a blast listening to it, and I'm glad I reached out and reconnected with Burge. It's been a while, obviously, with everything crazy going on in the world and stuff, but just coming on and talking football every week is one of my greatest things in the world for me. I mean, I could sit here for 10 hours a day and talk football and never get bored of it. But doing it with you boys, absolutely love it. Every Tuesday is the best. So ready to keep on rocking and rolling.
Aren't dude friendships fucking hilarious? You don't talk to somebody for 6 months. You see him at the bar. You're like, dude, I am your best friend. We are best friends right now. How are you?
Hogan and I are like the leading example of that. Like, we hardly hung out. We hardly saw each other. He asked me to be in his wedding. And we started talking through that. I was in his wedding. And then, again, a couple months go by. And then look at us now. Now we're doing this thing every week. So
I heard this quote, right? So it's called – it's a friendship quote. It's like women seem to handle friendship – to handle friendship with care like it was a glass vase, but it always seems to break. While men kick around friendship as if it were a soccer ball and it never seems to pop. So I've always kind of like lived by that mantra where it's like, we might not be like texting all the time or like, yo, I love you, or yo, like you're my best friend or anything like that all the time. But it's just like an understood thing that like no matter what, we're there for each other. You know what I mean? So I've always liked that. I've always liked that kind of mantra to go forward with. But let's talk some football. Enough with the mushy gushy shit. Let's talk about grown men slamming into each other at 100 miles an hour, leading with the crown of their helmet. Because we are a pro roughing the passer and pro fucking unnecessary roughness podcast. I'm not. No, I want the guys to be safe. I want the guys.
Don't.
To be
no, safe. Stop it. You were on such a good roll.
Barbarians.
No.
You no. Barbarians on this podcast.
All the injuries, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, but Coach's going to have to get real creative with this editing already. Anyway, so we got some big things coming up. We talked about the past. We got some big things coming up. We got Pat Lane. What was the name of his podcast, Spurge?
He does a Patriots podcast with CLNS Media. He's got a great co-host there with him. Also, Matt St. Jean is his name. And last night I was listening to him. They had Phil Perry on. They were talking draft with them. Always want to support them and definitely looking forward to talking to him here in a couple of weeks.
Hell yeah. Me and Pat have gone head-to-head on Twitter a couple times. He's a little bit different of a fan than I am because I'm fucking out of my mind, and he is very even-keel and sensible, which will be good to have on the podcast, dissenting opinion. And then after that, so that episode will come out 4/11, a week from this episode. And then we have our boy, Manish. Manish Mehta is going to be on the April 18th episode. So we got Pat coming up next week. We got Manish the following week. And then we have our Kojak and I's co-host from the Four Dudes, One Cat, One Cart Golf Podcast.
One cat.
One cat. No cap. One cap. No cap. What's up? No cap.
Wow. Stop. Stand on You're business. 30 years old.
What's up?
Okay.
Stand on Jack. All right.
Yo. But,
so, and then the week after that, 4/25, we have Zach Daigle on. He's going to be talking draft coverage. So that'll drop in the morning before the draft. And last thing before I stop talking fucking continuously is the BTP boys and a couple other of the Primetime Productions NFL podcasts are going to be going live on the Primetime Productions main account for the first round of the draft. It's going to be me, Joe Espo, Ian Kennedy, Kellen Sherman. We're going to have Brett on there. I think Boosie might make an appearance. We're going to have the boys. The boys are going to show out. The boys are going to show out on Thursday. Do you want to come on, Bersh? You're invited.
Bro.
What?
We talked about this.
Yeah, we did.
Yes, I'm going to be there.
I didn't know I had to name every fucking person on here.
You named everybody but your boy. You named everybody but your boy. What the fuck?
Yeah, Hogan's going to be on the live stream, and we're going to have a great time. I'm just bullshitting. But, yeah, everybody from all those podcasts is going to be rotating in and out, all the NFL podcasts on PTP. So that's going to be really fun. Other than that, does anybody have any housekeeping items, any bullshit like that left? All right, good. Thanks for your input. All right, let's get into what's going on in the NFL for the last couple of weeks. We'll start easy and we'll get a little heavy after this. Bersh, I think the Kansas City Chiefs have a new quarterback on their roster. Tell me about it.
Carson Wentz signed a deal to be Patrick Mahomes' backup. How do you guys feel about that? I see Carson Wentz for me is an interesting guy, an interesting quarterback in the league. You know, he had that season where he's probably going to be the league MVP until he ended up breaking his back, didn't he?
Dude, he tore his ACL. It was on the goal line. He tore his ACL on third down, and on fourth down, he threw a fucking touchdown with a torn ACL.
Yeah, and there was one point where he was I think I'm going back to the Nick Foles season when that was going on. He was like going to be the MVP, and then
is
that the same season? Yeah, and you know, obviously his career kind of spiraled from that point. You know, with Nick Foles winning the Super Bowl and him kind of just being a mediocre type guy. So I personally think it's a good fit to have him as a backup in case something happens to Patrick Mahomes there in Kansas City. Honestly, like, I'm surprised, like, where did he go after Philadelphia? Wasn't it, was it Washington?
LA.
No, he was there at one point. He was there at one point, but I think he had a chance to play somewhere else.
Yeah, he went to the Colts.
It was the Colts. Yeah. I'm really kind of surprised that he didn't end up kind of sticking somewhere, because like he was the kind of guy that, you know, when that draft class happened, you hear Jared Goff's name and Carson Wentz's name coming out of the draft. You're like, oh, well, this is a bad quarterback class. At the end of the day, Jared Goff's a pretty decent quarterback in the NFL, and it took some time to get there. And it would have been nice for me to see Carson Wentz end up in a place where he had a chance to play. Cause like I said, he was a guy that I was a big fan of when he was going through that, that kind of that peak of his career, despite the fact that his team beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. But like, I liked watching him play and I would have liked to have seen him maybe get another chance to start. Obviously he's not going to start in Kansas City. Let's be real. So, but again, it's good insurance policy for Patrick Mahomes.
For sure. Hey, real quick, I made an error off the top. So we're going to have Manish Mehta on next week. We're going to release that 4/11. And then we're going to have Pat Lane on the week after that. We're going to release that 4/18. So, yeah, enough of me. Hogan, what do we think about of Wentz going ring chasing there? Do you think this moves the needle at all? I think this is just a classic insurance policy for a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, it doesn't really do a whole lot for me in terms of like what's going on with the Chiefs or football in general. Wentz is – it's kind of actually, I'm thinking about it more and more. I feel like Wentz could potentially be another, or I'm sorry, Caleb Williams could actually be another version of Carson Wentz. Because the biggest thing with Carson Wentz, if you look back on his knocks, it's his attitude. And that's what gets him driven out of every place that he's been. Because if you look here, he went with the Colts. He actually didn't have a bad year with the Colts that one season he was there. The reason they dumped him immediately, everybody in the organization fucking hated him. Like they didn't have anything to do with him. And that's a big thing that actually got him knocked out of Philadelphia as well, because let's be real. Who had that bigger upswing for their career after that Super Bowl with either Foles or Wentz? Clearly wasn't Foles. I mean, Foles went to what? It was Jacksonville that signed him. That
got himself paid.
Yeah. But like but if you look at Wentz, like he should have been the guy going forward. And it didn't pan out because nobody either A, respected him or liked him or whatever. So he's just a career backup at this point, and it is kind of unfortunate because he had the talent to be unbelievable, and we'll never see what he could have been. And like I said, this is just a hot take by me, but I have a strong feeling that Caleb Williams is going to be a very similar song to that dance, because from everybody I've heard, Caleb Williams is a douchebag. Nobody likes him. So he might have all the talent in the world, but if you're not liked and people don't want to play with you, you're not going to last long.
Yeah, Carson Wentz was not happy about the Eagles drafting Jalen Hurts. And I think that played a part into him being them making the decision to move on. It was kind of the way he handled that situation that the Eagles were like, all right, we're done. We'll move forward we'll give Jalen some starts. And if it works, we're going to move on. And I think that's what happened.
Carson Wentz is like if Mac Jones had athletic ability. They're both spoon-fed fucking like athletes that have not really like had any adversity whatsoever. And then you throw adversity at like everybody's going to hit adversity in the NFL, dude. Like as soon as you go to the NFL, that's adversity in general, becoming a professional athlete. So I think that Carson was just maybe, and I go through this personally, holy fuck, dude, if I had an easy life. Every dude, you put a roadblock. I spill my coffee. Day's over. But that's not enough. I'm not in the NFL. So anyway, let's get on to a little bit more interesting of a topic. Brother, do NFL players like driving cars fast on public roads? Holy fucking shit, dude! Some legitimately jarring images of Rishi Rice came out this weekend of him street racing his Lambo. First of all, everybody taught you, he's like, street racing Lambo. I'm like, yo, dude, I'm going to look this up. He's going to have like a nasty fucking lime green Lambo with gull wings. It's a fucking SUV with the homies in the back. I'm like, dude, why are you racing in the first place? You're in an SUV. Anyway, but yeah, Rishi Rice, I don't know if they've caught him yet. I haven't really kept up with the story today. But there was a time where there was the verbiage was used that the police were looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some crazy dash cam footage of you see him kind of weaving in and out of traffic, trying to shoot a gap. Takes out like fucking four cars at one time. I really don't have much to say, but like, dude, there needs to be like that. I don't even, dude, it's getting worse and worse. Like nobody died in this one, but like, dude, there needs to be a discussion about like some of the shit that's got on with the Chiefs the last couple of years. Bridge, I don't know if you have anything to add.
Dude, I don't understand why let me rephrase that. Like, you're giving a young kid who's 22, 23 years old a lot of money, probably going to do something stupid. Like,
the only reason I wasn't doing that is because I was driving a Honda Civic, brother. I was beating the piss out of it. It just wasn't going 112.
Exactly. Like, I don't know what it is with a lot of these athletes. I mean, they're spoon-fed through college now. Like, they're taught that they're the, you know, the ultimate prize and this and that. And they find a way to screw themselves. Rashee Rice had a very, very good rookie season. And part of me is speaking like this because I have him in my dynasty fantasy league as a rookie. So, like, I'm like, this is going to be a guy that's going to be a receiver for my team next year. I don't know if that's going to happen now. Like, let's be real. I don't understand. But I honestly do not understand why these guys are so stupid that they do this stuff. They're given the world. Rashee Rice has the world in the palm of his hand. He could go out and basically never have to work again after he's done playing football, if he can continue to develop and continue to play at the level that he did last year to build on it. Just won the Super Bowl, and he's out here doing
jackassery.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. And it kind of just drives me nuts that these guys consistently do this stuff. Like, go back a couple of years with Henry Ruggs, another one who just did something stupid. Why are you getting behind the wheel of a car doing 160 miles an hour when you're a first round draft pick and you're on a team and you're pretty darn good? Why take the risk? And I get it. They're young kids. They make the stupid mistakes. I mean, we've all done stupid stuff in our 20s. Let's be real. Like, it hasn't cost us the same way, but we're also not in the spotlight like these guys are.
True.
So, like, you do something stupid like that, and you're going to pay the price. And obviously Henry Ruggs really paid the price because he ended up killing somebody. And he's in jail now.
Somebody else
he deserves
that one. That poor lady and that poor retriever, dude. That's fucking
horrible. Like, why do they continue to, like, that should have been example number one to Rashee Rice as to why he should not be doing stuff like this. Yep. It just happened, and now you're doing it. Thank God he didn't kill anybody, but he very well could have. Yep. So it's ridiculous, and you know the whole Chiefs connection with everything that's gone on with them and driving under the influence and everything is horrible. I don't understand.
Or it's just referencing a head coach's son murdering a 4-year-old girl the week of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If you guys aren't following
4 years
along.
Ago? 4 years ago?
Whatever the last time
like
they
that?
Played the Niners.
Like, these guys think they're invincible, and they're not. And they should look to the previous examples as to why they're not, to not commit the same stupid mistakes. Yep. And they still do it. And, you know, it's bigger than the game at that point. You do something like this, man, it's bigger than football. And I no patience for something like that. Like, no sympathy for when you do something stupid like that. And, you know, like I said, just thank God nobody was killed.
For sure. Just real quick, Hogan, I want your take on this too, because I know you haven't kept up with it much, but I know that you usually have a little bit of a good prayer perspective on shit like this. But the only thing I want to say is I know it's so bad sometimes, but like, there was three other dudes in that car. If Rashee Rice comes out and said he was driving the car and there's no video to corroborate it, you got to look at the Chris Carter clip, dude. You got to have a fall guy. I hate fucking sounding like that, but dude, you keep your friends close, you give your friends jobs, and there's a certain level of understanding that when shit goes wrong, that the cash cow of the situation should be. Not saying he didn't do anything wrong. I'm not saying that whatsoever. I just think that sometimes these players put themselves in their own situations where they could be like, you know what? Why don't I just have my friend drive home from the club? You know what I mean? Why do I have to get the DUI? Like, dude, it's fucking awful. Nobody should be driving drunk at fucking all. But like, if you guys are coming home from the club, or you're going to be street racing, you want to have that thrill, sit in the passenger seat and have your boy drive, dude. You know what I mean? Like, If your boy gets kicked, your boy's not going to get kicked out of the NFL for DUI or for crashing into somebody on the highway, and you're still going to have the rich and the fame. This dude's probably going to get off scot free if we're being fucking honest with each other, because nobody got seriously injured. But Hogan, do you have any thoughts on this situation?
Honestly, what you guys both touched on were just spot on with that stuff. I don't have much to add in terms of like what that whole situation is. I guess my big thing is I'm so sick of the NFL not making this a bigger deal than it is. You look at these guys that they just get away with murder, where if you look at us average everyday Joes, we get, you know, the ultimate penalty. If I'm drunk driving, I do not have a job. I am in jail. There is no free ticket for me. It's just, it bothers the piss out of me that these guys are invincible. Like you touched on, Burge, where like they think they can do no wrong. And I put a lot of blame on the NFL for not setting them up for success, where I know they do a lot of the rookie symposiums and all that. But at the same time, look at I go back to Ray Rice as being the penultimate like fuck up moment of the NFL. Because if anybody thinks back to that whole situation when Ray Rice absolutely obliterated his then fiance, now wife, in the elevator, they suspended him for what was it, like a game?
Two games.
Then the video dropped, like TMZ or whoever the fuck had that video was like, oh, two games? Dick on the table. Here you go. This is what actually happened. You know what I mean? Like, I sorry to make light of it, but like that is what happened. And the NFL had the biggest egg stain on its face from that, where it was like, on what fucking planet did you think that it was okay for this guy to do what he did, investigate the way you did, and then act like, okay, two games is fair enough, and then the video drops, and it's just like, how many more times are we going to see this? And Burge, you hit the nail on the head in terms of like Henry Ruggs. Like, that should have been the wake-up call going forward for any guys coming into the league now, or for the NFL to step in and go, you know what? Any rookie or anybody in here who isn't accustomed to having $1 million in your bank account, you don't drive until like the season's over, or you have a driver, permanent driver from the rest of your career. Like, that's how this needs to be. I mean, how many more times are we going to see it? Then, and like I said, it bothers me because on top of them not getting punished, how many more other people are going to get hurt, lose their lives, or anything else that's going to happen from this? And I'm sick of it.
No, I agree, dude. And dude, I going back to the Henry Ruggs, this popped into my mind, dude. I remember when that happened, there was like a video released of him and his girlfriend in that same car with him driving like crazy fucking fast and her legitimately pleading for him to slow down. So yeah, I just think that it's just, I don't know. Some people never learn. I think there's a aspect here of like invincibility, like you guys both talked about. I just think that there's a level of invincibility that you need to have in your brain to play that sport at the highest level. But I think the best players in the league have a great ability to know when to turn it off and turn it on. And I think there's a lot of young players in that sense who need that, like that intensity. You know what I mean? Like when you go on the field, that's adrenaline. That's fucking intensity. You know what I mean? When you get behind a fucking Lamborghini and you drive it as fast as you fucking can, that's probably some of the same feelings. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to call these guys addicts or anything like that, but there's like that thing that they're chasing. You know what I mean? They're chasing that greatness on the football field, and they're probably chasing the same kind of like feeling off it as well. So enough with the news. I'm done with the news. The news, but first of all, outside of sports, the news isn't great. I told the boys I was talking geopolitics on the podcast tonight. The world's not great right now. But anyway, let's go to something that is great. Birch, take it away.
The all BTP team is back again.
Let's fucking go.
Let's do it again. We're going to do one of the strongest offensive positions that we've done so far. We did wide receivers. We're going to go to another one. We're going to touch on the running backs, one of the most undervalued positions in the NFL.
For good reason.
Okay, you can go that route. For a long time, it was not. It was the premium position in the league. So we're going to break down our all-time top five with honorable mentions of the running back position. We're going to start off here. We're going to start off with the lovely honorable mention picks. I'm going to start here. Okay.
No, we're good. I just had a spaz. I don't think we should do honorable mentions first, but this isn't my segment, so you go.
I'm going to go with the honorable mentions first. I like the honorable mentions first.
That's fine.
Marshall Faulk, for me, the dude was an animal when he played. Was as much of a threat in the passing game as he was in the running game. Had a 1,000-yard rushing and a 1,000-yard receiving season in the same season, which was incredible. Back in the late 90s, early 2000s, before the passing game really became big. We'll call it that. Part of the greatest show on turf. Eric Dickerson, another guy who was an absolute workhorse during his time in the league, was among the top in the game while he was there. And then probably a little bit more of a controversial pick on my honorable mentions, I have Adrian Peterson there. Was probably the top of his game when he was in the league in the 2000s. As the playoffs, I'm sorry, as the passing game was taking, taking the priorities for NFL offenses. So that's where I'm at for my honorable mentions.
So
Hogan.
My bad.
Yeah, Hogan next.
Yeah, me last.
Okay. Okay. For my honorable mentions, it's going to be a little bit of a retread because I got Marshall Faulk on there. I do have AP on there. A couple of my guys, well, actually, one guy that might be controversial is I have LT. LaDainian Tomlinson is on my honorable mentions list. I did not throw him on top five. But then, like I said, not to, to beat a dead horse, I'm sure we'll get into stats and everything with some of you guys with your picks. But two more names I got. Jerome Bettis. He might not have been the flashiest, but he was always just fun to watch because he was just a house that ran the football, and I love me some fat boys running. So that was awesome to watch.
Bettis. They let it bust. You guys remember? You guys remember in Pop Warner and like maybe like early in high school when you guys when somebody used to get up big and then they used to throw a fatty at fucking at running back and some bullshit. That was Jerome Bettis. They put in eighth grade. They were up like 40-0, and they put the bus at running back, and they were like, yo, we might actually just keep this here. You know what I mean?
I do love me the bus. He was awesome. And as much as I load the Steelers, it was kind of cool to see him go out with a ring. Sure. But anyway, those are my true running back honorable mentions. And then for this last one, and I know I have one buddy out there, YZ, if you're listening to this podcast, I threw him in here for you. Fullback, Mike Alstott was an absolute joy. Yes. Absolute joy. If we were doing top five fullbacks, he would be number one through five for me. That's how good Mike Alstott was.
Across the board.
Across the board.
All neck roll team led by Mike Alstott.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's a good segment right there.
But let's kick it to Joe. What do you got for honorable mentions there, buddy?
You guys had most of the people I have on here. There's one person I want to throw in here. One guy I want to throw in here as well. Curtis Martin, dude. Curtis Martin was never the flashiest back, there was maybe one or two seasons where he was the legitimate number one running back in the league. But the mid to late 90s, kind of like when I first started watching football, what a great player to watch. Sucks that he went from the Patriots to the Jets, but that's just how it is. But I love me some Curtis Martin. Super steady guy. Never made headlines, good or bad. So, like, I don't know. Kind of always fuck with a guy like that. Always fuck with a guy who stays loyal to his coach, like Bill Parcells. So, I got Curtis Martin is kind of my only name left here. I got on my honorable mention.
Curtis, my favorite Martin. To quote Chris Berman there. That's what he called him.
Curtis Martin was such a good dude. And let's go back to one of you guys said Marshall Faulk. You guys remember that NFL Films video of Marshall Faulk, like, literally just being a fat guy? He wasn't... Dude, no, I'm not. Dude, Marshall Faulk, come on the pod. But, bro, like, dude, all of these, dude, you see DK Metcalf and Christian McCaffrey now, they're chiseled out of their fucking mind. And, dude, this dude, just a fat guy, just had a dad bod, rushing for 1,000, receiving for 1,000, winning Super Bowls, being NFL MVP and shit. Like, I don't know. I always fuck with Marshall Faulk because it's like, dude, that's me, bro. You know what I mean?
The only reason I probably left him off my top five was because he's so sour about the Super Bowl 36.
Oh, they pushed him.
He's crying. Yeah.
They made us play contact football. Anyway, go for it, Bruce.
Yeah. So let's move on to our number five, Joe. I'm gonna get your number five first, but we're gonna go around the table ranking them here. So, Joe, give me your fifth best running back of all time. Yep, crack that sucker.
Get into it. Dr. Bergeron, I'm sorry if you're listening. Big talk with Dr. B. What was I going to say? All right, so my fifth on my list, we do a lot of longevity versus peak kind of debate here. A lot of that is kind of some of the algorithm that goes into like how we do our picks. So I'm going to go with straight longevity guy. I got Frank Gore as my number five running back. He's third all-time in yards. But he never led the league in rushing. Not one time in his career did he lead the league in rushing. He's third all-time in rushing, which I think is cool, unique, not great stat for his like being like a top five running back. But I think that's cool, the fact that he was a solid top five stats-wise running back of all time, but was never like the number one guy in the league. Just a very consistent downhill running back, always got the yards that were given to him. He was a five-time Pro Bowler. He had 9 1,000-yard seasons, and he had 1,000-yard seasons for two separate teams. So give me Frank Gore's all time. If you want 4 yards in a cloud of dust, if you've got a good O-line and you need 4.5, 5 yards to carry, look for Frank Gore to just give you the same thing over and over again. And now, to make me feel even older, his kid's coming into the league. So Jesus Christ, man. But yeah, I got Frank Gore as my number 5 guy.
Hogan.
What's up, buddy? I actually, Joe, don't hate me, but I don't think Frank Gore is a Hall of Famer. That's a whole nother fight for another day. I can't stand Frank Gore. I think he's mediocre. Anyway, before I get you too upset.
No, that's fine. I expected, honestly, I went with Frank. I was like going between like a couple for mine, but like, dude, if you look at his like overall like lifetime stats, it's just like so hard to not at least give him some like a little bit of credit just in the fact that like, how do you stave off CTE for 40 years and like play in the NFL for, I don't know. I think his longevity is so impressive. I had to put him on here, but you're right. You're right. I can't argue. I really don't have much to argue with that on.
Well, regardless, we mentioned my number 5 guy here. I think at one of somebody's honorable mentions, I think it was you, Burge, but give me Eric Dickerson. And for those of you who have listened to our top 5 list before, I picked all ancient old dudes, so don't be surprised by my list in the slightest. I don't really have any new name guys on here. But Eric Dickerson, the reason I picked him, if you go back and look at his stats, this guy, he played for 10 years, starting in 83 through 93. He rushed for 1,000 yards for a good chunk of his career. Actually, still holds the record 40 years later with the most rushing yards in a single season, 2,105. That came oh so close to getting hit by Adrian Peterson that one magical year. But Dickerson was just absolutely phenomenal. His rookie year, 1,800 yards rushing, 18 touchdowns, and the dude only got better after that. That's just a special type of player right there. I would have been interested to see how he would have been if he had been able to play on a decent team back in the 80s and 90s, because he went from LA to Indianapolis back when they were both pretty much poverty franchises. But Eric Dickerson, absolutely phenomenal player, giving me him at number 5 on my list. Burge, what do you got?
Another all neck roll player.
Yep. Very, very true. Yep.
So my guy, I might be a little bit lower compared to you guys, but I have Walter Payton at number 5. Dude was an absolute animal when he was playing. Had over 300 attempts in a majority of the seasons of his career. And, you know, won a Super Bowl, was the MVP Offensive Player of the Year in the third year in the league, played 12 seasons in the league as well. In fact, at the age of 33, still rushed for 1,300 yards, which is absolutely incredible. Was also in the MVP votes for all of those seasons. And Sweet Feet was his name, wasn't it? Wasn't that his nickname?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet Feet. Yes.
Sweetness or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. I'm kind of bummed that I never actually got to see him play, because he played, again, before I was born. He played from the mid-70s to the late 80s. But everything that I've heard and seen in footage and highlights just shows how elusive he was as a running back. So I have him at number 5.
I don't hate that.
Let's move on to number 4. Joe, I want to hear who number 4 on your list is. Let's hear it.
So I got Walter Payton here as well. This is classic. You gotta show some homage. You gotta pay homage to the OGs of the league. So it's crazy. He was so good for so long, and he only led the league once in rushing. His second year in the league, he had like 1,800 yards. So but he had 9-time Pro Bowler, 5-time All Pro, 1-time MVP, 1-time Offensive Player of the Year. And then he also had 3 seasons with over 450 receiving yards. So this dude was a dual threat back in the fucking 70s and 80s, which is legitimate, dude. That's so cool. I always love a good player that plays on a good team. Those mid to late 80s Bears were so fucking good. He was a perfect kind of player to fit into those series. But I will never, ever, ever forgive Mike. This is 10 years before I was born. I will never, ever forgive Mike Ditka for giving the ball to Refrigerator Perry on the 1-yard line up by 30 instead of Walter Payton. That was a fucking dirtbag move, and you know it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good, though. That's my number 4, Walter Payton.
All right. Hogan, who you got at 4?
Number four, this is going to upset some of my buddy Cowboys fans, but I don't care. We're going with Emmitt Smith at number four all time.
Surprise.
Hey, you know what? He's one of those guys that you look at his stats and what he did throughout the length of his career. And granted, he held on way too long at the end there just to try and break the record, which is completely fine. But at the end of the day, if you look at where his stats ranked up in the prime of his career and what he was able to do on a dynasty team for the Cowboys in the 90s, he was freaking phenomenal for a good while there. His rookie year, I'm just going to break it down really fast, but his rookie year, he almost hit 1,000 yards. He ran for 937 yards in 1990. The dude didn't have under 1,000 yards again until 2002.
Was he playing for the fucking Cardinals or some bullshit?
No, that was all with Dallas. That was all with Dallas. And even in 2002, his last year with Dallas, he missed 1,000 yards by 25 yards. That's insane. But just looking really quickly, the years that they won the Super Bowl with him, those 3 years out of the four that they won, he averaged over 106 yards a game rushing. And that's just incredible to think back in the days when defense was defense and those guys could knock you the fuck out. Like, Smith was one of a kind for a while. But again, record holder, he's there. Number four, Emmitt Smith.
I'm going to go a little bit against my usual argument here about longevity for my number four pick.
Wait, can I say something?
Before we get off
Emmitt Smith, bro, Emmitt Smith low-key ass, bro. I have never been an Emmitt Smith guy. Dude, you know there's only one season in his career where he averaged over 5 yards a carry. His average per carry in his career is 4.2 yards a carry, which is like significantly lower than like a lot of other players in like the upper echelon. But there is something to be said, not to contradict myself. There is something to be said about being a winning player on a winning team. So there's not a lot of players that would have ran for that many yards, no matter what offensive line was there. He got the yards that were given to him, and then some. And then there was also a playoffs where he played like it was like the last game of the season in like three playoff games or two playoff games with broken ribs as a running back, dude. As a running back playing with broken ribs, you know how fucking horrible that must be to get hit every fucking touch, dude. This dude was averaging 30, 35 touches a game and getting hit 30, 35 times a game by guys twice your size with broken ribs, dude. Oh, man, what a tough bastard. I agree. Longevity, tough bastard, but I've always been a Emmitt Smith is overrated guy, but I respect the pick nonetheless. The dude put in the work for however long, won the Super Bowls, is in the Hall of Fame, can talk all the crap he wants because I'm still a guy with a microphone.
Love it. Like I said, my number four pick here goes against my argument big time about longevity. But when he was playing, was one of the electric players. Like, again, we're going back before I was really old enough at all to be able to watch this guy. His last season in the league, I was a whole whopping 1 year old. But I'm going with Bo Jackson at number four. When he was playing, the dude was an animal. All right. He was an absolute animal. And the thing that with him, he suffered a pretty bad injury that ended his career. Averages over five and a half yards a carry for the 4 years that he played in the league.
Dude, psychopath, dude. Bo Jackson's a fucking crazy person.
And in the 3 years that he played, he ripped off 88 yards, an 88-yard run, a 92-yard run, and a 91-yard run. This is the classic case of a guy that you wish never got hurt and you wanted to see the duration of his career because he was that electric. And we talked about this when we were talking about the cornerbacks with Deion Sanders playing two sports. Bo Jackson did the same thing. He played baseball as well. And again, it's a classic case of the guy got hurt, bad injury at the time. Maybe if it happens now, he still plays, given the technology that we have medically to correct sports injuries. But when he was out there, dude, he was so electric and could just rip off the long runs at a time. Like, dude, the guy had 173 carries, and he ran for almost 1,000 yards with 173 carries. Five and a half yards a carry.
Yeah, almost 70.
Like, that's wild to me. Like, you never see that anymore. You never see that occur in today's NFL. You hadn't seen it occur all that much over the course of the history since he had played. So, for me, that's the reason why I have him in here at number four, was just because it's a classic case of what could have been. And if he had stayed healthy, I would have expected that to continue. So that's my number four pick there.
Bro. Wild pick. Not going to lie. Wild pick.
Just saying, man.
Wild fucking pick. I love it. I agree that he could have been one of the best of all time. And I think that he's
would have been.
He's a classic case of, like, the car is not built for the engine. But dude, what about him running over Bosworth at the fucking line of scrimmage when Bosworth was like that high pick and like,
yeah,
going to be the fucking best linebacker ever, going to be the next Dick Butkus. Fucking he gets locked up with Jackson on the goal line and just gets ran the fuck over. So yeah, good fourth pick, Burge.
Awesome.
Honestly, if you think about Bo Jackson real quick, he should have been Deion Sanders before Deion Sanders. I mean,
yeah,
Bo Jackson played in the MLB as well as the NFL. He was absolutely phenomenal in both. And that injury completely derailed him, which is
the hip injury,
is awful. Right? Yeah, which is actually the same thing that Tua had his final year in Alabama, which with today's medicine, he's completely fine. But Bo Jackson, it was a career ender back then, which is awful to think about. But he should have been Deion Sanders before Deion Sanders. So
absolutely. All right. Number three. Mr. Hogan, I want you to lead this one off here. Number three.
I got you. And you were talking about longevity with Bo Jackson. We're going to go right back to longevity because my number three pick is might be a little controversial because I know some people out there consider him possibly the greatest of all time. Give me Barry Sanders at number three. Barry Sanders at number three. There's not enough good things to say about Barry Sanders. I guess my kind of knock with him, a similar argument I had with him in Megatron for my wide receivers with that list, is that it was cut so short in what could have been. I mean, the dude did not ever rush for under 1,000 yards his entire career, all, you know, 9 years of his career. But like, if you look at his numbers, first off, he averaged 5 yards a rush, which is absolutely insane. He rushed for 2,000 yards the year before, 2 years before he retired. And he pumped out, I'm looking at his lowest yardage total for rushing was 1,115 yards, which is like an anomaly in today's NFL. Like, how often do you see running backs at 1,000 yards in today's NFL? So Barry Sanders was possibly the greatest running back of all time. If he just went to a freaking decent team, I think we would be having a different conversation about who's my number one player. But as of right now, because of the length that he played and what could have been, give me Barry Sanders at number three.
Yeah. I mean, I got Barry Sanders at three as well. And, you know, you kind of hit the stats on the head there. I won't repeat them all, but the fact that he only didn't complete a single season three times out of those nine, like his rookie season, I'll give him a little bit of a break. He played 15 games.
Oh,
he missed one game in two seasons and he missed five in another. Like, durability, right? Durability there. So Barry Sanders at three. Joe, go.
All right. I have LT, LaDainian Thomas at number three. Dude, talk about the classic nasty Madden player, wicked fun to have on your fantasy team. Fucking do it all, dude. I'm just going to run through some stats before I start fucking pole washing him again. Five-time Pro Bowler, three-time All-Pro, one-time Offensive Rookie of the Year, led the league in rushing two times, TDs three times. He had 28 touchdowns in 2006. 28 touchdowns in 2006. Also, he had almost 5,000 receiving yards in his career. He had 100 receptions and 750 yards in 2003. So, so he had three seasons with over 2,000 all-purpose yards, seven seasons in a row with over 1,200 yards rushing. He had eight in a row with over 1,000 yards rushing. Dude, this is the definition of a dual threat back. LaDainian Tomlinson, until Christian McCaffrey puts a couple more seasons together, LaDainian Tomlinson is the best dual threat back to do it. You can talk to me about Marshall Faulk all you fucking want. You can talk to me about Marshall Faulk all you want. LaDainian Tomlinson was the same out of the backfield as a pass catcher and a better running back between the tackles, dude. LaDainian Tomlinson ran for 920 yards with the fucking Jets at 33 years old. You know how difficult it is to be good for the Jets in your mid-30s? It's fucking impossible. Last guy to do it ripped his ACL on the fourth play. So just put it in those goggles for you. But yeah, I got LaDainian Tomlinson number 3 on my list. And I'll roll right into number 2. I got Barry Sanders number 2. There's not much you can say about Barry Sanders. The only thing you guys missed here is dude averaged over 5 yards a carry in his career. 10-year career, thousands of touches, 5 yards a carry. That's fucking impressive to me.
Absolutely. I got LaDainian Tomlinson number 2, man. Like fuck you said, yeah, I'm gonna echo a lot of what you said. I'm not gonna repeat myself to plug up the airtime here, but the fact that he was a dual threat back, dude had 300 attempts in his first, 7 years in the league, 300 rushing attempts. Couple that with 50 plus receptions in every one of those years. He had 100 receptions in a single season, 2 out of the backfield.
As a running
guy, he was a touch machine, and he was electric for so long. I think he hit on it. 28 touchdowns in 2006. One of the more impressive seasons up for a running back, running the ball, 1,800 yards, over 100 yards a game, obviously. Couple that with the 50 plus receptions in that season was unbelievable. And he was, in my time of really coming into my groove playing fantasy football, he was always like, I got to get LT at the top of the draft. I got to get LT at the top of the draft to help my team here. And, one of the running backs for me that I remember from like my adolescence as the top running back of the game. Hogan, who do you got?
Well, you guys were loving each other with your whole LT being the dual threat running back. I'm going to go with the OG dual threat running back. Burge, you already had him on your list. Walter Payton, sweetness. I'm looking at his stats right now, and I knew the type of runner he was. Hearing the stories my dad told me about him back in the day with what he did to, that Bears team did to the Patriots in 85 and everything like that. But looking at his all-purpose yards, you guys ready to have your minds blown? This is from 1975 till 1987. The dude had less than 1,500 all-purpose yards 3 times in his career out of a 12-year career.
That's impressive.
And the 2 years, 2 of those years were his rookie year and his last season, where he only played in 12 and 13 games. And the other one was in a strike-shortened season in 1982 where he played 9 games. Other than that, he rushed for 1,000 yards almost every year, it seemed like. And then catching the ball as well, he was phenomenal where, like I said, he didn't have less than 1,500 all-purpose yards for only 3 seasons out of 12. Walter Payton was absolutely one of the greatest running backs of all time, and there's a reason why he held that rushing record as long as he did until Emmitt had to play, a bazillion years just to beat that record. But for Walter to do what he did, especially where the Bears back in that era, if anybody can name another offensive player for that Bears team other than Walter Payton, let me know.
Jim McMahon.
Yeah. Was he any good?
Won a Super Bowl.
Was he any good? Trent Dilfer won a fucking Super Bowl.
Doesn't matter.
Walk so fucking Trent Dilfer could run, bro.
Jesus Christ on a cross. You guys are the worst. Anyway, that's why I got at number 2. That's what I got at number 2.
Love it.
Sorry. Are we all Christian podcast here? My fault.
My handle is the juicy under. My handle is the underscore juicy Jew, brother. You think I chose this life? You think this life chose me, dog? I have this funny saying every time like I get in trouble or I'm gonna be the one who's like in trouble or whatever for anything and be like, yeah, I won't be the first Jew on a cross. it fucking kills, dude. Any situation be like, oh dude, if that happens, I won't be the first Jew on a cross. And then fucking everybody just fucking loses it. Like, oh, this kid's fucking Jewish. Like, which is funny in itself. Anyway.
Oh, man. Kojak, your editing is going to be on point for this one tonight.
Yeah, leave all the Jewish shit in, dude. Who fucking cares? I'm Jewish, bro. Jewish. I'm like Julian Edelman. I didn't fucking... No, I almost said baptized. I didn't get that either. I'm like a pagan, baby. I didn't get baptized. I didn't have a bar mitzvah. Oh, fucking God. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
Back to anyway. Let's move on to our number one running back of all time. I'm going to take this one at the start here. I have Jim Brown as my number one running back of all time. Played back in the late 50s and the early 60s. So for all you youngin' NFL fans out there that don't know the history of the league, Jim Brown was the running back for a very long time for the NFL in terms of the history and the records and everything like that. The dude averaged over 100 yards for the duration of his career. Unbelievable. Again, I'm going to get a little bit against my longevity argument, but I'm sorry. Playing 8 seasons or 9 seasons in the NFL back in the late 50s and early 60s, pretty wild considering the protective equipment that they had, how rough the game was back then compared to what it is now, all of that. The dude,
Jim Brown, was basically played football with a popcorn bucket as a helmet.
And he exactly.
Played almost 10 seasons, which is impressive.
And he didn't miss games his entire career. He didn't miss a game. Looking at his stats, like he didn't miss a game. And that to me is a little bit wild. Dude rushed for 1,500, 1,400, 1,800, 1,400 consistently. There were 2 seasons of his career where he didn't hit 1,000 yards. And in those 2 seasons, he didn't hit 1,000 yards. He was at 942 and 996. So you might as well have been at 1,000 yards at that point.
996.
Like the game, the running game ran through him. He was an MVP twice. He was always in the conversation for the MVP award at the end of the season. Made Pro Bowls, did all of that back in the 50s and the 60s. And to me, being able to sustain it for that long is wild to me. Is wild to me. So Jim Brown, number one. Hogan, go.
I got the same dude, Jim Brown. Absolutely just unbelievable. Anything you hear about this guy, like I said, I won't touch on everything that you talked about, Birch. But like on top of that, too, talk about like the ultimate athlete as well, because if you look back to what his career was in Syracuse before he actually got into the NFL, he played basketball for them, he played lacrosse for them, where he was a second team All-American in lacrosse, which is like, what the hell? And then on top of that, oh yeah, he was on the track team as well, so he was just like fast as fuck. So like the dude could do everything, but obviously what he excelled at was football. Like you said, Burge, averaging over 100 yards a game in his career, like that's unfathomable in today's NFL. But it's just that what he was able to do in the era he played was absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, he was a giant, a god playing among men, and I can only imagine if what he could have done in today's NFL with like the technology and everything at this point. Like that's the one part about history that always kills me, is like I love seeing the stats and what these guys were able to do and the stories of what they were able to accomplish. But it's just like, imagine them with the equipment, the protective equipment that we have today, like the medicine we have today. Like I said, could you imagine Bo Jackson? Like he could have been number one on your list, Burge, if he never got hurt. Mm-hmm. And it's like with Jim Brown, I could only imagine what he would be like today. But Jim Brown, number one all time, greatest running back ever, as far as I'm concerned. Joe, my man, what do you got?
Real quick, before you go to him, he was a GOAT coach. A GOAT coach in the movie Any Given Sunday. Let's not forget that. I hope you've all seen Any Given Sunday, a football movie. Unbelievable movie. He was a goat coach in Any Given Sunday, Coach Lawrence Taylor in that movie.
So the all BTP teams are just strictly between the lines, folks. Strictly between the lines. Wait for the tight end list. Just kidding.
Go ahead.
So I want to throw in something on Jim Brown real quick. Dude was a three-sport All-American at Syracuse. Football, track, and lacrosse. Dude, multiple All-Americans at football and lacrosse. You know how that's I don't know. I think Jim Brown, Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, there's like a pantheon of just like athletes who they might not be like Deion's the best corner ever, but like Bo Jackson's like one of the best running backs ever. Fucking Jim Brown, one of the best running backs ever. Like those guys go in the pantheon of just athletes. Like, they are just – like, Bo Jackson, Jim Brown are in the pantheon of just athletes. They are just some of the best players to just play sports. Doesn't matter which ones they are. So, love Jim Brown. Great pick. Even some great highlights from back in the day. Remember how all the highlights of back in the day, they were all slow motion and crazy, dude? Some fucking Jim Brown highlights from back in the day, dude. Couple pops with the boys, dude. Couple pops with the boys hanging out on the couch right after the Tavon Austin highlights, throwing some Jim Brown highlights, dude. Anyways, so my number one pick, once again, strictly between the lines.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, one caveat for this BTP list. This is strictly between the lines. But I have Adrian Peterson as my number one. So I think that Adrian Peterson is the best combo of size, power, elusiveness, and then he is a great debate for the longevity versus peak of performance, because there was maybe 4 or 5 years where he was the best running back in football, clear cut, no questions about it, best running back in football. And then he was also ran for over 1,000 yards with the Washington fucking Redskins at the time, Commanders now, at 33 years old. So I'll run through some more of his accolades here. Fifth all-time in yards, 7-time Pro Bowls, 4-time All-Pro, 1-time MVP, 1-time Offensive Player of the Year, 1-time Offensive Rookie of the Year, over 120 touchdowns, led the league in rushing 3 times, rushing TDs 3 times, rushing yards twice, yards per game 4 total times, and then yards from scrimmage twice. Averaged 4.6, so almost 5 yards an attempt for his career. Had 2,097 rushing yards in 2012 that we talked about. And then he had 296 rushing yards in a game. Can we talk about that for a second? We live in the most pass-happy league there's ever been in the entire history of North American sports, dude. And this dude had a great game from the running back position that would be a great game from the quarterback position. 300 fucking yards rushing, dude? Are you fucking serious? That's crazy, dude. That's crazy. I got Adrian Peterson, once again, between the lines. Adrian Peterson as the best running back in NFL history. He is the best mesh between power, elusiveness, longevity, and peak performance. He's won MVPs. He's a multiple-time Pro Bowler, multiple-time All-Pro. He was our Offensive Rookie of the Year, and then he also ran for 1,000 yards over 10 years into his career with the Washington Redskins. So give me AP over any of these other dudes on the list.
Bro only averaged 81 yards a game throughout the duration of his career. That's why he wasn't my number one. There you go. There you go. I got it there. But there you have it. Our all BTP team top 5 running backs of all time. And I understand that we have some listener contributions to our BTP team running back list. Hogan, take it away.
We do. And before we get into that, I actually want to get into a fun fact that I don't know if either of you know this about Adrian Peterson. Do you know that he was not the starter for that game where he broke the rushing record against the Chargers in that 2007 season?
It was his rookie year.
Do you know who the starter was for that Minnesota team?
Was it Chester Taylor?
It was Chester freaking Taylor.
No!
I swear on everything. So the funny part is, there's a funny story behind that. I actually had Adrian Peterson in fantasy that year, which was a godsend, won the championship. Thank you, Adrian Peterson. But I was nervous about him for a little while there because he wasn't the starter up until that game. Like, Chester Taylor was still technically the starter for the Minnesota Vikings, and AP was considered his backup. And then he just blew the doors off the record, and everybody was like, yeah, so Chester Taylor, you're like off the team. You know that, right? Anyway.
Wild thing is they both averaged over five yards a carry that season. Both of them.
Chester Taylor was a good running. He rushed 1,000 yards the year before in 06. Anyway, we're getting off the rails here. I want to get into our listener contribution. We had a special shout out last week for my man, Rick, that I work with. And he took it upon himself. I told him we were doing our running back list. He wrote a little list of himself.
Let's go.
But before we get into Rick.
Shout out Rick. Rick, you're the GOAT, bro.
We actually have, so Rick's son, Riley, he wanted to take it upon himself. And he's a little bit younger, but that's okay. We're not going to hold that against him. I'm going to read his list.
You guys do it to me every fucking episode.
Well, you deserve it. Riley doesn't deserve it.
Yeah, he deserves it. Yeah.
This kid's catching a ricochet for no reason. I'm just being
Riley, you're good, bud. I like his list though. For what we got, he's got number 5, he's got Alvin Kamara. Number 4, he's got Josh Jacobs. Number 3, he's got Derrick Henry. Number 2, he's got Marshawn Lynch. I like that pick a lot, actually.
I love the Marshawn Lynch pick.
Number 1, he's got Christian McCaffrey on his all-time list right now. So, Riley,
he almost snuck in on my number 5. I'm not going to lie.
Let's go. Riley, I like the list, man. It's definitely a, like, last 10 years list, but he's as far as I know, Rick said he's either 14 or 16. But either way, Riley, we appreciate it. Thank you, we hope you're listening. So thank you. And then we got my buddy Rick. He's got a very similar list to mine. Number 5, he's got Eric Dickerson. Number 4, he's got Curtis Martin. Number 3, he's got Barry Sanders. Number 2, he's got Emmett Smith. And number 1, he's got Walter Payton at number 1. And then real quick for his honorable mentions, they both got a LaDainian Tomlinson, Jim Brown, and Marshall Faulk in there. So Rick and Riley, we appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for your contributions. We hope you love our lists, and we hope you keep listening. Thank you.
Fuck yeah.
Let's kick it back to Joe. What do we got, Joe?
Not much, bro. Not much. I fucking love doing these lists. It gives us so much fodder to talk about. It gives, dude, we're going to end this recording, and we're still going to be talking about it. Mm-hmm. So please send in your own lists. Please send in your own recommendations for position groups to do next. We're going to vote. So when you guys look at the fucking graphic, guys, okay? This is a little inside fucking baseball talk right now. When you look at the fucking graphic, scroll down. There will be a poll. There will be a poll. I promise. In the tweet, I say there's a poll below. And then you scroll down, there's a poll below. It's incredible. It's incredible how that Twitter machine works. But yeah, so we're putting out a poll. Or probably, I would say, I don't want to speak for us, but I would say that it's going to be spotty the next couple of weeks. I'm not 100% sure if we'll be fitting one of these in every one of the next couple of weeks, but I know that we will be doing this. We got a couple other lists we want to go through. So please send in your list. Please send us recommendations on the list. I think we might do some superlatives. I know I got a recommendation from our buddy Shiloh, our former guest Shiloh. Maybe we'll do like greatest play or greatest team that never win a Super Bowl, some shit like that. Kind of instead of just positions specific, maybe we'll do an all BTP fucking whatever, something else. But as Burr says, a fearless leader, it's time to plug this one up. So as always, we're brought to you by Primetime Productions. You can find them on Twitter at Primetime Prods. You can find them on the internet at primetimeproductions.net. We've got content, podcasts, live shows, articles from every fucking angle you can fucking do. We've got fucking dudes writing UFC articles. Who's got people writing UFC articles 7 days a week? Nobody. Primetime Productions. All right. And then we got the live gambling show, PTP Bets. We got that.
Chili
Vibes coming to you with losers every Thursday. But yeah, shout out Pat. Shout out Pat. He runs that thing 7 days a week. That's the only live 7 day a week gambling show. Getting a lot of momentum there. So come in, jump in the chat, get some losers, get some winners. Like they say, if somebody's fading, somebody's fault, somebody's tailing, somebody's making money. If it don't make sense, it don't make dollars. But other than that, we're going to plug this bad Larry up for the silver anniversary episode of the Breaking the Plane podcast. I am Joe Sherry, your host, alongside Burge, Hogan, and our maestro on the 1 and 2s, Kojak. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week and a good weekend. Goodbye.
Peace.
Later.